Bibles and turn to that psalm, if you would, please. Psalm 42. As I mentioned in my email to you this week, we're doing Psalm 42. And we're not going to continue in the psalms, like taking a big section of them. It's just Psalm 42 today as a bridge to get us to the book of Hosea, which I'll start, Lord willing, preaching in the week after Pastor Yelton preaches next week. So that week, as I mentioned in the email, we will be starting the book of Hosea. So I want to encourage you, in preparation for that, to be reading the book of Hosea, and so that you're very familiar with it, and so that if you have questions about it, you might seek to have those questions answered in the preaching of God's Word. But now we will read and preach from Psalm 42, and we'll read this whole, all 11 verses. This is the word of the Lord, a gift, a really special gift to you, his people. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for giving to us your Son Jesus Christ, giving to us your word which records his life, which shows us, Lord, his great humanity. His sinlessness shows us that he was your Son, the Son of God and very God. In the midst of taking on the form of a servant, coming to this earth, becoming a man, we see in Jesus that there were times, very troubling times in his life. We know, Lord, that you let us see these things, that we might know he was not only God, but also man, and therefore qualified to be our sacrifice. But also he shows us, Lord, how we are to live, for we are to follow in his steps. As we look at Psalm 42, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see Jesus in his struggle, in his sorrow, but also help us to see, Lord, that we have been given instruction and help for our sorrow as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the beautiful things about the Psalms is that they not only speak to us, they speak for us. They speak to us and giving us instruction about many truths, about almost every facet of life. If you want to find out what God's Word says about it, you can go to the Psalms, for it will surely address it. But they also give us words to say to God and to ourselves when we are going through various life experiences. The Lord Jesus told us in Luke 24 that the Psalms speak of Him, but like for us, these Psalms also spoke for Him. They spoke for Him. They gave Him words to say. We see in the New Testament, He used the Psalms repeatedly to speak of His situation, and He used them to speak to God as well. For example, John 13, 18, using words from Psalm 41, 9, Jesus said, "But that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." And so Jesus is speaking to his situation using the Psalms and speaking to himself, reminding himself that what Judas was about to do was ordained by God. And we find it in the Psalms. In John 15, 25, speaking from Psalm 39, 19, Jesus said, "But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they have hated me without a cause." This was a life experience that Jesus went through. I mean, the Psalms addressed it and gave him words to say, words to teach himself, words to speak to his situation. But Jesus also used the Psalms to speak to God. On one occasion in Matthew 27, 46, while he was dying on the cross, using the words of Psalm 22, saying, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Psalms do the same for us as they did for Jesus. They speak to us and they speak for us. Jesus was affected by sin, though he had no sin. He did suffer as man suffers because of sin, not only in his death, but also in his life as well, as we read there in Matthew 26. The psalm spoke to the trouble that Jesus would face in life and in death. And the psalms speak to our troubles as well. So in many ways, in this sense, when the Psalms speak about man's trouble, they're speaking about the trouble that you and I face, and they're also speaking about the trouble that Jesus, the man, faced. And Psalm 42 is such a psalm like that, that unites our lives with Jesus in this trouble. We know that God had a purpose in Christ's humiliation and suffering. Hebrews 2:17 tells us, "In all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people." God's purpose in causing Jesus to be suffering in his life and in his death was to make him a qualified, faithful, and merciful high priest. To suffer with man because of sin. Not his sin, but because of sin and the sins of others, that he might make propitiation for the sins of God's people. God's purpose. There was purpose in Jesus' suffering. And there is purpose in your suffering as well. There is purpose in your deep sorrow in this life. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The psalmist of Psalm 42 was in great trouble, deep sorrow, a downcast soul. For he says right in the middle of the psalm, "Oh my soul," or "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." There are some beautiful words in Psalm 42, but it is about and it is from a person in the midst of his faith, in the midst of strong faith. His soul is down, cast down. Thrown down to the ground. And the psalmist does not shy away from declaring how he is feeling. He does not act like he is a super Christian or a stoic Christian wherein nothing that happens bothers him. That's not reality. It wasn't reality for him, and it's not reality for you and me. Here is a man with real faith. You look at what's said throughout this psalm, and it seems like he's a man that's contradicted himself. But really, in reality, he is just expressing how down he is, but how much he is trusting God in the midst of being downcast. Real faith. People with real faith can have depression, can be in a downcast state in their soul. And God knows this is true, and you know it's true. You know it's true by your own life and your own experiences. And you may say, well, not yet I haven't, Pastor. And I'm not saying, well, hold on, because you will. I don't know that God will take you through such an experience. But we know that He took Jesus through such an experience. His soul was troubled even unto death. As we look at this man here in real faith, in Psalm 42, we can see ourselves and we can see Jesus. We can see the sorrow of Jesus. We can see how that sorrow relates to our sorrow. But what we want to do is not only recognize that deep sorrow in the Christian life is a reality at times, but we also want to see that there are remedies to it and that we don't have to remain there. So I want us to see three things from this Psalm 42, and there are three themes that run through this psalm, with the main thing being, my soul is cast down within me. That's what's going on here. And the three things I want us to see about this is the reality of God's people being cast down. The Bible doesn't shy away from hard situations. The Bible doesn't shy away from God's people in their great sin, or God's people in their wondering if God is still with them, or God's people sinning against Him, or God's people, you know, losing faith. This happens in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't shy away from it, because it's all a reality for us. And so we need to see the reality of the fact, and for several reasons we need to see it, but that God's people can be cast down in their soul. And that doesn't mean you have lost your faith. Secondly, we need to see the reason for God's people being cast down. There are reasons. There are legitimate things that happen in our life that are legitimately, can legitimately cause us to be down in our souls. In our souls. Just as Jesus was. And thirdly, we want to see the remedy for God's people being cast down. So first, let us look at the reality of God's people being cast down. Soul trouble was a reality for Jesus. It's a reality for the author of this psalm, and can be a reality for us as well. This verse, verse 1, I don't know if you've ever seen it on a poster or a greeting card, but it's usually separated from the rest of the passage. Maybe they'll include verse 2. But on these greeting cards or posters or inspirational posters, which at times can be helpful, but what they usually portray on this greeting card is a serene background, maybe with mountains, maybe with leaves changing, just a beautiful scenery with a nice little deer coming to a little babbling brook, getting a sip of water. Is that what you see here in the context of Psalm 42? This deer is panting for water. This deer is in need of water. It doesn't appear from Psalm 42 that he is just getting his normal daily drink, but that for some reason, he is panting because he's in great need. And this is the psalmist. This is the picture he's trying to paint for us of his current situation. So what kind of things does he see or say about his situation? That he's being persecuted by his enemies. That they are challenging whether his God even exists. And just as that deer has suffered being pursued and has been running from its enemies, it is now lacking one thing that it needs most, and that is water. And this water is to represent the one thing that you and I need most, and that is God. And in the midst of our turmoil, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our trouble, it is very tempting to say, well, why am I in this trouble? If God were with me, I wouldn't be here in the first place. And that's not true. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus did have trouble. And yet God has promised to be with us through it all. The psalmist is cast down. He is this deer who is panting for water. Throughout this psalm, he is cast down. What does it mean to be cast down? But to be humbled or brought low, to be oppressed. And this is what is making the psalmist pant for God, to thirst and long for God, because it is a reality in his life, and the one thing that he is being deprived of is the one thing he needs. And he says it here in verse 1. So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Deep sorrow and oppression or depression can often cause us to look to every place but God. I have seen Christians do that before, and I probably have done it myself, maybe even without knowing it. But when a Christian sins and sins and sins and maybe gets into a pattern of sin without repenting, the one place they need to go is to God Himself, who offers grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. But oftentimes, the one place they need to go, they won't go. In verse 2, we see the psalmist saying his longing was to be in God's presence, which indicates, because he was longing for it, that he currently, at this time of his writing or speaking about this, that he was not in God's presence. He longed to be seen by God, to appear before God's courts, to be with His people. And that's what he speaks about in verse 4. He says, what I used to do is I used to go up and worship with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. When I remember these things, I poured out my soul within me. For I used to do these things. We don't know the situation which the psalmist is speaking from here. But for some reason, he's being deprived of being with the Lord and appearing with God's people.